Good morning. I want to begin by acknowledging my co-authors here. The analyses I'll show you have primarily been led by Eric Kruger in my group and my colleagues Dave Engel, J.D. Carlson, Drac Twidwell, and Sam Fuhlendorf have all made important contributions here. As a soil physics community, we've spent so much time developing ways to measure soil moisture. I think it's also a worthwhile activity to develop applications for soil moisture data. So here's one. Soil moisture controls on wildfire occurrence and extent in Oklahoma. This photo shows residents in Luther, Oklahoma, inspecting the remains of their home on August 4th, 2012, a day when we had a severe wildfire outbreak across the state. If there's anything that small way that we can be helpful to prevent or mitigate these kind of events, I would like to be a part of that. In Oklahoma, we have thousands of wildfires every year, as many western states do, and the top figure shows number of fires for each year from 2000 through 2012. And the dormant season fires are shown in dark gray. The growing season fires are light gray. The lower panel here shows the area burned. And one thing you can see is that the dormant season typically dominates in terms of total area burned, such as here in 2009. However, during drought years, growing season wildfire becomes more important. So it's different from other places that experience wildfire. We really have two different fire seasons in Oklahoma. And that plays out in the relationships I'll show you. Fire departments and government agencies use tools which are called fire danger models to try to prevent or prepare for wildfire outbreaks. Two key parameters in these models are fine fuel loads, so fuel being vegetation and also residues, and then live fuel moisture content, another key parameter. So my hypothesis is that both of these are strongly influenced by soil moisture. Across North America, we have hundreds of locations where we monitor soil moisture, and for many of these, the data are available in near real time. These stations are, this map comes from the North American Soil Moisture Database, and I'm sure there are others. If we zoom in on Oklahoma, we have quite a high density of soil moisture stations. This map comes from our Oklahoma Mesonet, where we're monitoring soil moisture at over 100 locations around the state of Oklahoma. Here, the soil moisture is being reported as percent of plant available water. So the question that's really driving our work here is, how can we use these soil moisture data in the context of improving fire danger predictions? That's really what we'd like to do. And so towards that end, I'm going to show you two analyses that we've conducted so far. The first analysis is really a descriptive kind of analysis. We have a data set, large data set, over 38,000 wildfire events that have occurred in Oklahoma between 2000 and 2012. For each of those fires, we've obtained meteorological data from the Oklahoma Mesonet and also soil moisture data. We took those fires and we grouped them into fire size classes. So class 1 being the smallest fires, up to class 5 the largest fires. These fires are over 1,000 acres, which is pretty large for Oklahoma, for our landscape. So what we're looking at here are, what are the differences in the meteorological conditions or the soil moisture conditions between these different fire size classes? That's what the first analysis is about. The second analysis is a little more quantitative. We're actually taking those meteorological conditions and the soil moisture conditions and developing a multiple logistic regression model to try to describe the probability of a large wildfire occurring somewhere in the state on a given day. So it's a logistic kind of a model that we've developed here. So those are the two analyses, and I'll start off by showing you some results from this first one. This figure shows on the y-axis the fire size classes, which I just mentioned, and on the x-axis we have fraction available water. So that's the soil moisture normalized by the available water capacity. And again, the darker colors here are the dormant season fires, and the lighter colors are the growing season fires. And the key point that I want you to notice here is that we found that growing season wildfires in Oklahoma occur exclusively under low soil moisture conditions. You can say that another way. Low soil moisture values are a prerequisite for large wildfire outbreaks in Oklahoma during the growing season. If we look at example, two specific years, the gray line here shows our average soil moisture conditions. Now this is average for the whole state for about 20 years of data, the average soil moisture for each day. And so that's the gray line going from May 1st through November 1st. And then we have two specific years, 2007, which was a very wet year. You can see soil moisture conditions were above average for most of that growing season. And the fire total was very small, only about 3,000 hectares burned in that wet year. 2012 was a dry year, and soil moisture conditions were below average for almost the entire growing season. And we had this period of very low soil moisture values from July through August of 2012. And if you remember, August 4th, 2012, this was the date of the photo that I showed you at the beginning. So that's descriptive. Now we want to move towards quantitative in our second analysis. And to do that, again, we went with a logistic regression model. So we took a suite of meteorological parameters and also the soil moisture data, and we considered the data for the day of each fire as well as multiple time lags preceding the fire. And when we look at the growing season fires, really we only needed three variables to describe the probability of a large fire. And those three variables are shown here: maximum wind speed, minimum relative humidity, and fraction of available water in the soil. Those three variables allowed us to correctly classify 83% of the days in our database. So that's quite good classification accuracy for this kind of a model. And I'll show you in this figure what it looks like. So here we've isolated on the x-axis this one variable, fraction of available water, and on the y-axis we have the probability of a large fire occurring somewhere in Oklahoma. There are four different scenarios here in terms of relative humidity and wind speed. What you can see quite clearly from the figure is that when that fraction of available water is greater than 0.5, we have very, very low probability of a wildfire event in Oklahoma. But once we get below 0.5, we start to have increasing probabilities of large wildfires depending on the relative humidity and wind speed conditions for that day. So this kind of relationship is quite strong during the growing season, and we think the mechanism here is that these low soil moisture values are a necessary condition to start to get low live fuel moisture content. This is the water content of the vegetation starts to decrease, and that's necessary if we're going to have these large wildfire events. That's the idea. We're going to see something very different now. We're going to switch to the dormant season. If we look at the dormant season, the same type of model, except this dormant season model has more input parameters, and the one I'm showing you here now is fraction available water on the x-axis, but notice this is minus 270 days. This is the soil moisture 9 months before the fire. Dormant season fires are most common in March in Oklahoma. So this would be the soil moisture value the preceding June. So what this is telling us is that when soil moisture is high in the summer, like maybe in June in Oklahoma, then we have an increased probability of large wildfires during the next dormant season. So that's very interesting to us. And the mechanism, I think, is that when we're a water-limited environment in many cases. And so when we have high soil moisture, we probably have better vegetation growth, higher fine fuel loads during the growing season, and then those cure throughout the dormant season. When we get warm, windy days in March, we've set the stage for these large wildfire outbreaks. So that's what we think is going on here in the dormant season. Now, the one final point I want to make here, which I think makes soil moisture really interesting, is to think about the autocorrelation. Now, this is showing you the autocorrelation plots for relative humidity, wind speed, and fraction available water. And one thing that's obvious from these plots is that soil moisture has a much longer autocorrelation timescale than these meteorological indicators. The autocorrelation ranges here are just a few days for relative humidity and wind speed, but anomalies in soil moisture can persist for a month or 2 months. And so I think that this persistent autocorrelation in soil moisture will make it particularly useful as a forecasting variable for this wildfire application, especially in that 1 to 2 month kind of time frame. So that's where we're at now in the analysis. So three take-home messages. First of all, these growing season fires in Oklahoma occur exclusively when we have low soil moisture conditions. Secondly, the dormant season fires, in contrast, the probability is increased when we have high soil moisture during the prior growing season. And then finally, I think in terms of developing some forecasting tools, the strong autocorrelation of soil moisture is going to be particularly valuable. So I want to invite you to our website, soilphysics.okstate.edu, if you'd like to see more about our work. And I want to thank our funding sources here, the Oklahoma Agricultural Experiment Station, the Joint Fire Science Program, and the Oklahoma MesaNet. Thank you.
We've got time for some questions. I've got a quick question. Can you break this out by counties and do a county-wide probability distribution?
It's a great question. The question is, can we break this out by county and do, because this was a state-level analysis, so can we do it like county by county sort of wildfire probability? I would love to do that. We don't know how to do that yet, and so because of the sample size being so small. But we're looking at, we would like to learn how to do that. So if you have any ideas, come and help us.
Mike? You may have mentioned, did you correlate the bed water content to soil water content for the growing season?
Thanks for asking that. So he asked that, did we correlate the vegetation water content to the soil water content during the growing season? Unfortunately, as you probably know, it's hard to get a lot of data on vegetation water content, so we don't have that much data. The data that we do have were presented by my students, Anisha Sharma. We do have some localized data looking at vegetation water content and soil moisture, and just sort of preliminary, but it does seem there's some kind of threshold kind of response that at higher soil moisture level, there's virtually no relationship. But then as you get to some threshold, then the soil moisture starts to really constrain the vegetation water content in the limited data set that we have.
Can you use NDVI or some vegetation?
Fantastic, yes. As a matter of fact, the question is, can you use NDVI? And yes, we can and should, and we actually do. Currently, the Oklahoma Fire Danger Model uses NDVI with some calibration as a proxy for herbaceous moisture content. And so we're hoping that we can maybe improve on that some by including the soil moisture component also. Great questions.
Okay. Very good. I think we should move on. Right. Thank you, Ty.
Thank you.